We'd like you to chat with your friends about KFAI.
Oh, you only talk to AI chatbots.
Well, in that case, hello. We'd like to chat with you through your chatbot about chatting about KFAI.
KFAI cuts out chatbot chit-chat and gets back to basics.
People selecting music that they think you'd like and broadcasting it over the airwaves and interwebs.
So if you like your radio uncomplicated by chatbot chatter and AI patter, go to KFAI.org and click donate.
Go ahead. Support humanity. We're not all that bad.
KFAI, non-commercial, community-powered, not-that-chatbot radio.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
So uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind, and you're the key to my peace of mind. Cause you make me feel.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, and enlighten you spiritually.
Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasa.
When I say, ancestors use me, when I say, ancestors use me, what I mean is, I surrender my life to you. To you, surrender my life to you, to you, surrender my life to you. When I say,
ancestors use me, when I
We are in the midst of our spring pledge drive. This has been an incredible year already of community. Minneapolis and the Twin Cities have demonstrated our commitment to community and to each other. We believe in taking care of our neighbors, and proud of our community. We are proud of our radio station. And the thing that makes our spring pledge drive so special this time is that we are also in the midst of International Women's Month as well. So we have an opportunity to support and celebrate women and support and celebrate our favorite community radio station. We're a connection point for cultures, neighborhoods, and voices you won't hear anywhere else. We're just, equitable. We keep the airwaves alive. When you give, you're not just supporting radio, you're strengthening your connection to our community. This year, as well as last year, our connection has been under threat. The Congress eliminated our public media funding, and that includes the support that we've depended on to stay on the air. KFAI needs your support to keep us strong and connected. When you support KFAI, you're not just supporting a station, you're supporting our artists, our elders, our immigrants, our youth, everyday people. You are fearlessly celebrating diversity, raising the volume of unheard voices, and reflecting the cultural strength of our Twin Cities. Join us. Go to kfai.org/donation. Share, spread the word, tell your friends why KFAI matters. We matter as a community and as a radio station. Go to kfai.org/donate. Keep just and equitable airwaves alive. I have the pleasure this evening to be interviewing the great Jessica Winnie, poet, great educator, lover of our children, lover of our community. Look forward to a magical hour of poetry, music, and wisdom by Jessica Winnie. I know that you work with young people and how important that is. In a world that is so anti-Black, how do we get our young people to feel good about themselves and their Blackness?
I think one of the main ways that I attempt to lift up and build and encourage young people is just to meet them where they are. And there are so many mental and emotional needs with the children that I work with. Mostly I work with fifth grade this year. And just trying to communicate with them about their family values. I kind of start with that sometimes because we all come from different upbringings. And how do we find the commonality and understanding even within our differences? And one of them, I talk to them a lot about, like, what are their passions? And because I feel like I can reach them if I know, a lot of the boys love playing soccer. And so when there's conflict or arguments going on, I try to bring it and try to connect it with the soccer because it just something they love, right? So right away they hear me. A lot of people talk about the village, and I think that at least in my, where I'm at right now, that We always, all of us can always do more within our own capacities, and I understand that we all still need to protect what we have going on. And I know that the times when I was struggling with my blackness as a youth, it was the children or the older teenagers or the 20-year-olds or the 25-year-olds as I continued to get older that were around me that encouraged me or like were the examples of what I needed to push through, like whatever I was going through. And so being the best example that I can be and also bringing examples, I have a girls group at school called Young Queens Club. I bring people from the community in to meet them, engage with them, have dialogue with them so that they can see themselves, right? And then so that they can be inspired. I think we underrate the opportunities we have just to stop and have a conversation with young people. And when I say young people, I mean 4-year-olds all the way to 20, you know, even young 20-year-olds, like they're still, everyone's always like searching, even at our age, right? We're still searching as women to find out the meeting place where everything meshes and makes sense and vibes together, I guess. Being the best example and giving opportunities for children to see their blackness and what it is for them, because it's different. It's different for all people and young people too. I work with young African girls that are Liberian and Nigerian. They have a different experience as their blackness as young African American girls. And we talk about that at group. We have a high population of Somalian boys at our school. We have African American boys, you know, that are from the city. They have commonalities, but when they go home, their lives are different. And so even back to that motherhood, right? Like, how do we as mothers, like, yep, taking care of your own crew is good. And how do you take that motherhood or take that being a woman and expressing that and giving that love and giving them that direction to others so that they can just see the possibilities and also experience something different maybe from you that they don't get from the other women that are in their life?
Is it important that we create a safe place for our kids?
It is mandatory. There are so many spaces that are not safe for them. It's not, sometimes the spaces are not safe for their bodies. Sometimes it's not safe for their minds, their emotions. We have to, because at least in education and in life, right? You can't learn, you can't love, you can't experience things that everyone should be able to experience when you have trauma around you or pain around you or things that are that you don't control but affect you. My room, I know at school, I work with fifth grade, but kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, everybody shows up in this space. And because they know they're welcome and they feel welcome, it's not enough to just know. You know, we think, oh, we're welcome all places. But when you walk into a space, you feel it if you are or you're not. The room, I don't even say it's my room or my office. The space is called the Enchanted Forest. When the kids talk, they're like, we're coming to the forest. I'm like, come on. At least within schools and home, right? Yes. Children need safe spaces because you cannot be your whole self when you don't feel like yourself, right? And there's things that are in society or in our homes or in our communities that make young people not feel safe. It's a non-negotiable. It should be. It should be a non-negotiable for children to have a space, right? And that can be a room. And sometimes spaces are a person, right? It doesn't have to be an actual room or community center or, right? You might feel safe outside by a lake. Young people deserve that. Young girls, especially, since we're talking about women, right? Young women, because there's so many things in society that are pulling and pushing girls to be all these other things. I see it in my own child. I have a 15-year-old almost girl and I have a 21-year-old girl, right? That's 7 years difference of what society has poured on them. Has created different challenges within each of them, even in that seven 7-year span, and I see things in my younger daughter that I did not have to experience with my older one. I don't know if it's because the times change or generation or COVID, whatever that you want to blame or name that causes, but young girls need women in their lives who can provide safety, can provide a vision, and just someone to guide them that maybe we don't always know. I didn't receive everything that I needed from my mother, but I received it from women in the relationships that I have had with different women in my life. Because sometimes you don't want to listen to your mom, right? Oftentimes, because you think you know it all.
A reminder that we are having our spring pledge drive here at KFAI, and want to encourage lapsed members to renew your support. Go to kfai.org/donate. We've missed you. You've supported KFAI in the past, and we're so grateful. Your gift helped keep independent voices on the air and made space for stories, music, and perspectives that matter. Now we're asking you to come back. A lot has changed. This year, Congress eliminated our public media funding, including support that KFAI relied on to help pay for essential operations. We're facing real challenges, and we need our community more than ever. If you've been meaning to renew, now's the time. Your support still matters, maybe more than ever. When you renew your membership, you're not just keeping KFAI running. You're keeping immigrant voices on the air. You're keeping local music, arts, and culture alive. You're standing up for media that reflects real people, not algorithms. And of course, you're supporting Health Notes. We know that life gets busy, but we hope you'll take a moment to reconnect, because KFAI is still your station. We can't do this without you. How to renew? Go to kfai.org/donate to make a gift in any amount. Consider becoming a monthly sustainer. Share your love for KFAI with a friend. Together, we keep the signal strong. We've been a part of this story before. Let's write the next chapter together. KFAI.org/donate.
Interstates. They're fast, efficient, boring, just like algorithm-driven commercial radio.
Remember the old two-lane highway system? Oh, sure, it took more time, but that's when taking a road trip was an adventure.
You got your kicks on Route 66, you had fun on Highway 61, you saw the sun on Highway 1, just like KFAI. KFAI is all about the journey, the trip, the fun, the adventure. And just like those old highway standbys, KFAI could use a little patronage during the spring pledge drive.
Just go to KFAI.org and click donate. You can choose your own amount and maybe even pick something kitschy cool to take home with you. Because it's not just where you're going, but how you get there.
KFAI, non-commercial community power. Big Ole Radio.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Dakota, presenting Toronzo Cannon Thursday, April 2nd. He's touring with his latest release, Shove and Play. His throwback Chicago blues, telling modern tales of love, family, and frustrations of modern life. More information about Toronzo Cannon at the Dakota is available at DakotaCooks.com.
We're continuing our conversation with poet and educator Jessica Winnie. And where we left off at, Jessica was talking about how our young people tend to listen to other adults more than they do their parents and the people that are closest to them.
It's amazing how other folks, our mother could tell us the same thing and another woman tells us, and it's the most profound thing that we've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that often when I'm with you. And it's a blessing every time.
I love that. Share another poem, my sister.
This is something I wrote. Sometimes I'm laying in bed or in the car, or I just grab a old bill and start writing, like I said, just what it came to me. I'm definitely in a space right now of the last year or so, like I feel like I'm in this cocoon and learning new things about myself, which is like, you always think you know it or you got it, and then here comes life with something else, and you're like, oh, I thought that was over, or oh, I thought that things were different or whatever. So try to remember, like, as a woman, there's always going to be opportunities to improve and grow and learn, and it doesn't, in your 30s you think you got it all, and in the 40s you might think you do, and so the progression of being a woman and all that that entails. This doesn't have a title or anything. It says, I didn't know what I deserved until prayer led me to leave what no longer served. Love language not aligned. Trauma bonded over time. Love didn't mean stay together. At one of my lowest mental, emotional, and physical endeavors, he came with a knife, stabbed me in my jugular as I bled out. Darkness surrounded me. Heard a voice calling out, if you give it all up, I'll set you free. I reached out, grabbed a hold of the light. Signs continue to unfold. Ancestors gave me permission to go. And loneliness has never felt so full.
Jessica Winnie, this evening on Health Notes. What does it mean to you to be a Black woman in this society?
To be a Black woman in this society means to show up genuinely, to walk into any room with my chin up and know I belong there. Being a Black woman means to not let the opinion and the attitude or what people, I don't know if you want to say judgment or what you see on the outside or what you assume, to always have my my armor on and my sword ready to slice through those thoughts or those negative connotations that people want to attach to me. Being a Black woman means supporting Black men. Being a Black woman means acknowledging and lifting up and remembering all the Black women who have poured into me. And being a Black woman means that I get to take a step back when I need to, even if it's sometimes taking 10 steps back and breathing and letting myself know I'm not going to fix it all, and it's not all for me to fix. And I think lastly, being a Black woman means love. That's how we show up, how we stand up, how we strive, the resiliency, how we protect each other. And when I think about all that, if I cumulated, it comes to love, because we are dope. We're dope. Even on our bad days, we're dope. You know, even on the days when we don't, we are the epitome of all things great. And we come from our ancestors. I mean, we have beautiful examples to look at and replicate.
So even when you are in the presence of stupidity and hate, how do you maintain your center?
I have to sigh and breathe, because that is sometimes prayer is not enough. And I think that we keep our center. I keep my center by remembering that the things that I am going through, when I really, if I write them down or really like sit back and reflect on them, they're minor. They are minor to the experiences that Black women have trudged and treaded through before us, and here we are. And so how do we pull up our bootstraps and stay focused? And it's not easy, right? It's work, because sometimes the deities come for you, and they don't just come once. They come often during the day, and they come unexpectedly. They come to steal your joy. And navigating, you know, I tell my daughters, I tell young girls that I mentor, that we have this force field around us, and you get to let in who you need, and you get to keep out who you need. But remember that you are surrounded and covered. And so when you get to that level or that mindset, when you know you are covered, you see them coming before they arrive. And so you already know how to respond and not react. And it's a challenge. And then I sometimes feel like it's unfair, because we always have to be on our toes, right? Are we always things that people who are genuine, I speak for myself, I might judge them just because of what I know. And so it's easier to just keep that safeguard up. Navigating as a Black woman, you know, you think like, oh, it's a man's world. Someone said that the other night, and I was like, oh, okay, interesting. As hard, if you think of like economically, or, you know, women's salaries versus men's, or positions, or how you move up the ladder and all of this, and how it's so hard for women. And then, you know, sprinkle that, the Black woman on there. And it's, I'm gonna say, like, even more difficult, right? But even with all the heaviness, I feel like we, as women, and especially we as Black women, like, we handle everything with a lot of grace. Makes me think of that poem, can't think of the author, but basically the thought of, like, and I'm not gonna say the poem because I don't remember it, but like the idea of, like, you're lucky that we're keeping our cool, in a sense, because you don't want to see the day when we choose otherwise. And right, but even that's heavy work, because then I'm so tired of like the code switch word, and, you know, I can't code switching, like, I'm over it. I'm over it. Years ago, and whoever taught me, right, oh, when you need to be in these spaces, you need to act a certain way, or when this is happening, you need to be this. I feel like that did me a disservice, and I feel like I had to unlearn that, because, no, I deserve to be who I am, and if I'm going to engage with you, you deserve to hear me, see me genuinely, regardless of the conflict that might come after. Because conflict's great sometimes. No, it's a bad thing.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking with Jessica Winnie about her writings, her poetry, her life, her opinions on being a black woman. Another title that we didn't mention is grandmother. Mm-hmm. How has that changed you? How has that affected you?
I remember my great-grandmother. And so one of the most, for me, I don't want to say struggles, because I'm 47, right? I don't think I'd be a grandmother at 47. And so that's different to have like that title put on you. It also is like, I held my grandson this morning. And so that feeling, or to see like, oh, this is my legacy, right? Or this, like, my blood is flowing, or my, the generation, like, this is part of, this is my third generation. It's a wonderful thing. I have two grandsons. My oldest son has a son named Cairo, and then my second son has a son as well named Adri. And they are a joy. I wish that they're not in town normally. And so I always thought I would be this grandmother, like the grandmother that I had. And then I always thought I would be the grandmother that I watched my mother being. And so to not have that is a very, it stings me daily. It stings me daily. And you think life's going to be a certain way, and it's not. And so I didn't think I would have to, like, be on FaceTime with my grandchildren, right? I thought they would be here, or I could go get them, or their parents would drop them off. It is as much of a joy and a wonderful thing. It is for me at this time in my life. It is also it is a heartfelt pain daily. But even holding him this morning and rocking him in a chair that I rocked his father in, I just hold on to the light, I guess, and focus on the positive more than like, oh, he's not going to be here, or, you know, not going to see them, or, but it's fun. It is. Everyone else always like, what are they going to call you? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be Nana. I don't want to be Glam Mom. And I don't. I was like, they can decide. Like, they'll call me what they call me whenever they get to the age, and we'll figure it out then. So, yeah. Grandma J. I'm like, no, I don't need a. It's just like Grandma Winnie. Yeah. So. But that's like, we always need a title for something, right? Like, it's just enough for me that they belong to me, that they're mine. I don't need a name. Queen Mother is a joke in our house. So we go with that one. I said, that'll be a long one for them to learn. But, you know. I'll take it.
I agree, Queen Mother. Yeah. I absolutely agree. Let's go out with a final poem.
Okay. This is what I'm working on this now, so it's not complete. I'll just do the parts that I know. It's called This Lifetime. When I meet love again, we will sit across the table together, stare into each other's eyes, and apologize. While dilated pupils meet and acknowledge this moment of sincerity, unexpectedly revealed passions inside. When I meet love again, we will stand facing one another, elated to be captivated in Maslow's hierarchy, because let's keep it 100. We all know there's levels to this. No more sweeping issues under the rug. Let's make it all about love, because intimacy equates to nothingness if we cannot acknowledge our moment in connection after a 4-minute hug. When I meet love again, we will share a space where our ancestors give grace, permissions for truths to trace themselves on paper, silhouettes whisper sweet nothings to their shadows. No unanswered questions or doubting of serenity, the hooks in our beat, rhythms ringing like a banjo bell, because the beams of light we exchange attach themselves like filaments to the brain, binding, soul bright, lighting this pathway we willingly chose with apprehension, our thoughts and actions full of positive intentions.
Jessica Winnie has been our guest. Thank you so much, Jessica, for being here and being the kind of example of womanhood I think that we all aspire to be. Thank you.
Support for KFAI comes from the Cedar Cultural Center. The Cedar and Drone Not Drones present Clarice Jensen and Chuck Johnson, Monday, March 23rd.
Veterans of the Cedar Drone Not Drone program, cellist Clarice Jensen and multi-instrumentalist Chuck Johnson, team up for this shared program.
Clarice will perform selections from her latest release, In Holiday Clothing, Out of the Great Darkness.
Chuck will be performing renditions of his new work, Quenya. They will perform separately and then collaborate together for a brand new composition.
More information about Clarice Jensen and Chuck Johnson is available at thecedar.org.
Go to KFAI.org and show your support for this incredible radio station, incredible program. We've been around a long time, both Health Notes and KFAI. KFAI.org/donate. It will make all of the difference in the world to us. And we appreciate your support so very much. Our last segment is going to be an excerpt from an interview that I did with Lissa Jones. We have been talking about the greatness of African American women, and Lissa is a amazing contributor to our community. You inspire the best in me, which I think is all of our job, is to help bring out the best of who we are. I was thinking about another Black woman in this city who I had an experience with, Nakima Levy Powell. I was texting Nakima, and I had lost her, my phone was stolen over the holidays, and so I had two numbers for her, so I put them both in, right? So we were texting back and forth, and then all of a sudden, there was, "You effing nigga, you stay away from my white girls," and all this other craziness, just crazy. I looked at that and I said, I know this isn't from Nakima. I have no idea of what this is. And Nakima's number had changed and this other person got the number. And so when I saw that, whenever anything comes to me, I know that there's something for me to grow from. So I looked at that, and there's something about the word nigga that Black people are supposed to disintegrate when we hear that word, especially when it's used in that kind of a tone. And I saw that and I looked to see what my emotional responses were. And I just remember thinking how wounded you are, mm-hmm. and how damaged you are. That was what my thought was. And Akima's thought was, oh no. And she took the whole thread and she put it on Facebook. And that night, thousands of people texted this person until he changed his number that next day.
Wow.
And so when I think about Nakima, I think of a Black woman who was pregnant and had the nerve to run for mayor, had no money, and came in third place anyway.
Get it, girl.
But there's still something about, who do you think you are to be able to do that? It's like folks seem to think that we need permission in order to step out there and be who we are. There's been such entrenched systems, even within the Black community, and there are certain people
who think that leadership belongs to them. And if they're not in the center of it, and certainly in terms of this entrenched system, it's not women, it's men that are at the center of that. And if you don't ask our permission, then you don't have the ability to do that. And so as I'm thinking locally and standing out politically, especially having the nerve to call out white supremacy and be who she is no matter where she is. She does not compromise. She not only understands all of the political issues in a way that is easy to understand, but also loves us. A lot of us are afraid to step out there because we haven't gotten permission.
Hmm.
For those of us who are afraid to stand out there because the haters are going to hate and we don't want them hating us, so we get little so that they won't be intimidated by our greatness.
First of all, it's a very lonely place to be. To stand out by yourself in the middle of the village and not know whether anybody can hold you up. Most of the holding that you get in the village is in the dark. It's good and you need it, but it's not open. It's not, my people will march for me if I lose this job. It's not that. It's somehow different, and it's kind of different in Minnesota, which is a whole different show, but nobody wants to step out. She probably truthfully wouldn't choose to want to step out either, but she answered the call. It's James Baldwin said, once you get called, you're compelled. The ancestors don't leave you alone. I don't do Urban Agenda. I mean, I do like doing Urban Agenda because I want to, but I don't know where the message comes from every week because it's not coming from me. I don't know who these people are, but they keep showing up. That's where I think I understand why people are reticent. You don't want people in your business reading articles about you, writing about your personal stuff, being with the kids. Nobody wants that, but that's what got the Me Too movement. That's what helped Hollywood cover up everything. That's what helped all these people, was fear that somebody would step out. And when somebody did, everyone around them just said, oh, no, that's not it. Or they didn't support. And that's terrifying because it's you by yourself in the middle of the night who has no job. It's you in the middle of the night who can't pay your rent. It's you who has to tell your children that there aren't going to be gifts under the tree. And it's you who can't give a Kwanzaa present because you don't have it. And it's you who has to tell the children we're having ground beef again tonight. And it's you. It looks glamorous. It really does. But there's nothing glamorous about it, Kinshasa. Most of our activists, like Erica was talking about, end up in some kind of horrible tragedy with some horrible health crisis or addiction or, you know, to one thing or another, or just some kind of tragic end because we didn't learn to pace ourselves, because the work is lonely and you're looking for your people and they want to help you. But baby, they're trying to live. They're just trying to get through, and they are helping you the best they can. And so I think Nkema Pate is paying consequences for telling the truth and that it's a lonely place to be. I think that Dr. King said, no man can walk on you unless your back is bent. And to me, that's what I feel. I'm not bending my back. My ancestors already paid. I pay daily with the things that we have to go through. And I'm doing this so your grandchildren and my grandchildren, God willing, and the creek don't rise, don't have to do this. There are some who are called to the work and we can't help it. We're compelled to be there despite the consequences. There are other people who are not called to the same thing. And I think one of the things we can do in our village, in our beloved community, is to drop the idea that everybody has to do activism the same way. Activism can be a love of revolution and taking care of you and your family and their health. Activism can be with Nkema, shutting down 94 till the people hear you. And activism can be more than that and less than that and everything in between. And if we simply forgive ourselves and assume goodness in the village, I'm sure my brother is doing the best he can do. And if he's not, when I let him know, he will assume that I'm coming from a place that assumes that he can do the best he can do, in spite of. So that when we leave this sacred place we call the beloved village, we are armed with what we need to survive. And better than that, in the words of Nikki Giovanni, to recognize that black love is black wealth and to thrive on that.
Lissa Jones, this evening on Health Notes. You're just a poet. You're absolutely a poet. You, when you speak, I see colors. When I think about you, I think of what I would like to see from everyone that I know, is that their presence helps me to be my best. And I think that that's the least that we can do for each other, is to inspire that in each other. You mentioned the Me Too movement. And there's so many other movements that are happening where people who have historically not had their voice are beginning to speak up. And even the Me Too movement, which appears to be primarily well-to-do white women, are collecting a lot of money on the part of farm-working women and for women in every category to make sure that there are legal funds to help women be able to pay the rent and to be able to take criminals to court. Although I haven't seen any criminals go to jail yet, I would certainly like to see that. When are we as a people and as women going to say no more? What is it about us that makes us think that we deserve to be paid less, that makes us think that we need to walk a half step behind somebody? I'm perplexed as to why we've bought into that lie for so long.
It's a very interesting dynamic for me. I think, first of all, for the Me Too movement, Tarana Burke is the founder of the Me Too movement. She's a black woman. It isn't Alyssa Milano. It isn't any of the women they're touting, the Brave 48 or whatever they put on Time magazine. It is Tarana Burke. And she founded it precisely for this reason, so that women of color who are marginalized would have a way to say, Me Too. We get harassed too. And in many ways, the Me Too movement would be a wonderful study for an anthropologist or a sociologist, because it shows what happens when white co-opts something. So when white culture decided that it wanted to have Me Too, they gave the credit to Alyssa Milano and it completely erased Tarana Burke, which happens to black women all the time, which is why young women think that black women don't do much. But when they look at just under the surface, they see we've been behind this whole thing, like Erica Huggins and the Black Panthers. So when we're talking about that, that's one sort of piece of the puzzle, is black women's involvement is often erased. And now that women of greater resources have become involved, that thing's gotten different, you know? The root of it isn't the same. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. That'll be a study I'll be watching closely. Women, it's interesting because all the men have to come through us. So all the men are born by women, and yet we still hold up these mythologies that support a world that is male dominated. And I don't know if we get that because we think we need a man, because their voice has bass, because I don't know what. Because we love our daddy, I don't know what. Because we're women and so we don't have as much sympathy for women, I don't know. But somehow we have to ask ourselves as women, how do these mythologies in a culture so dominated by women's leadership become so perceived male dominated, become so run by men, become so toxic in masculinity? But somehow women have a role, because we've either adjusted, accommodated, or kept teaching, or kept reinforcing these myths. And that's not to blame any of this on us. It's just to say, in every dynamic, it takes two to tango. And women are going to have to figure out, what is our role, and why did we, who told us our back had to be bent so he could walk on it? That's what we need to know. And how do we unteach that to our girls? And quite frankly, our boys. That's not freedom for them either, to think you're the king of the world and the idea of the world is yours. That's a dangerous and unsafe place to be, because much like white supremacy, once you gather everything like Humpty Dumpty on the King of the Hill, you have to spend all day and night looking around 360 degrees because people are going to want their stuff back.
Well put. Very well put. This is February and this is Black History Month. Why is the celebration of black people important during February or any other time of year?
Because we are amazing and awesome, because we have contributed to every single part of this world, because we are at the fundamental root of so many things, because we hold a moral compass, because if history is a teacher, black people are on the right side of this thing. And there is much that deserves to be lifted and lauded and celebrated and amplified. And because we don't have to live like that. We don't have to eat the lies they tell. We don't have to read the books they write. We don't have to teach the history they give us. We don't have to. No more Me Too. We can simply say no. And that's what Health Notes does. So they want us to eat McDonald's and you say get a colonic cleanse. And they want us to have a chicken nugget and you say drink your water. That's resistance. That's what we need. That's the kind of love that will keep people healthy in the village all day long. We can simply now, Kinshasa, say no thank you. We don't want any. That's not a luxury we've had many times before, because the suppression of our voices and our media and all those ways kept us from knowing that there were other women out there crying out for the same things and crying out in the same and different ways. And now, Kinshasa, as they say in the scripture, the very rocks will cry out if you say nothing. We hear each other. And the establishment knows however they want to define it, that we are coming and that the time is up for all of it.
Lisa Jones this evening on Health Notes. KFAI.org/donate. Show your support for this incredible radio station, this incredible radio show. These are conversations that you won't hear on any other station. I think that we are the best community radio station in the country. We're very blessed in terms of the community support, community unity. Let's show KFAI and let's show Health Notes how important it is to us. Donate whatever you can. KFAI.org/donate. Showing up for KFAI means showing up for each other. Join your neighbors and keep KFAI securely on the airwaves today and every day. This is community-powered radio. We're on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Give today, KFAI.org/donate. It means a lot to us. Being in community asks something of all of us. Attention, care, choice, and the often invisible effort of staying human when the world feels sharp. The refuge we create together doesn't happen by accident. It lives in the small everyday ways we look out for one another, in the ways we celebrate each other's art, lives, and stories.